Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi?
Sci-Fi.
Yes, Sci-Fi, 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 a podcast put on by three men, two of whom are probably secretly evil twins.
How do you know they're evil?
Well, because I know you people.
We're all evil.
Doesn't except that for make me. Them good?
No. Anyway, yes. Who chose this week?
I did.
And what are we reading this week?
The Map of Bones by Francesca Haig.
Who narrated it?
Lauren Fortgang.
Whose side are you on?
That would be telling.
I'm on my side.
There we go. Nobody's on nobody's side. All right. Could you give us a reading from the back of the book, please?
400 years in the future, the Earth has turned primitive following a nuclear fire that has laid waste to civilization and nature. Though the radiation fallout has ended, for some unknowable reason, every person is born with a twin. Of each pair, one is an alpha, physically perfect in every way, and the other an omega. Burdened with deformity, small or large, Cass is a rare omega, one burdened with psychic foresight. While her twin Zach gains power on the Alpha Council, she dares to dream the most dangerous dream of all, equality. For daring to envision a world in which alphas and omegas live side by side as equals, both the Council and the Resistance have her in their sights.
Pew, pew. All right. Well, I get the impression we've got a bit of a difference of opinion on this week's book.
I don't understand why.
Kevin, what did you think?
Well, first of all, post-nuke.
Yes, Kevin is considering starting a religion where everybody's dead.
Considering? Well, eventually everyone will be, so.
Yes, that's true.
You could be it is a, you know, what will be foretold.
You could be like the Mormon church and just claim all dead people.
It is what will be foretold. That's like a meta prophecy.
I like Latin construction of verbs. Isn't that like,
this is the way it's going to be?
Yes.
At some point in the future, will be a prophecy, and you will all be so impressed.
This will have happened in the future.
Future events like these will take place in the future.
Yes.
They'll never be the past.
So yeah, I like post-nuke stuff. This was an okay post-nuke setting.
Great.
I didn't really get into the actual events in the setting that happened.
So you're mainly interested in the, you know, radiation readings?
I like, you know, bunkers and things, and I like barren wastelands. And
this is what we call praising with extraordinarily faint damnation.
I determined that this had to be a fantasy setting and not a science-based setting because I couldn't figure out a way to describe how the twins had the dark crystal thing where if you killed one of them, the other one would magically also die.
You mean that science fiction universe, the Dark Crystal?
Yeah, the science part.
I would consider that fantasy also. Maybe this is supposed to be like in the fringe of, you know, the other continents or what happens in the Dark Crystal, and they're all, this is the same world or something.
Okay, and now we are discussing this as Dark Crystal fan fiction.
I don't know. I really wanted to like this more than I did. I didn't hate it. It was, like I said, I enjoyed the setting, and I enjoyed parts that I'll go into in the spoiler section of the setting specifically, but I never could get invested into caring about anything that anybody did in this book.
Or in the world.
It seemed like they spent their entire time bickering about stuff that you knew was going to happen anyway, so just irritating. But other than that, it was great. So, sorry.
Alrighty.
Sorry.
Wow. I mean, how do I follow that up?
I could try to describe my impressions of it. I actually enjoyed this one. So to give a little context, this is a sequel to a novel that we read when this was a book club and before we achieved our current absolute glory as the most popular science fiction book review podcast done by three guys named Barry, Kevin, and Steven.
Remember to cue the angelic music.
Oh, the Simpsons. But anyway, so it took me a little while to remember what had happened in the first book because that was a couple of years ago that we actually read the first book.
It might have even been three.
Yes. And so I think I made it through like at least a few minutes of it before realizing, oh, that's right. Everybody is twins. Everybody is born male, female, fraternal twins that are sort of psychically linked. And if one person is injured, then the other is injured. And if one person dies, then the other dies. And one of them is mutated and the other one is awesome.
What if they're actually the mutant?
then what?
Yes. What if the alpha is actually really the mutant?
Doesn't make any sense. Well, what if black is actually white? Is.
No, I mean
it's the perfect one, so there's no imperfection. So
right, that's kind of a mutant to me.
Yeah, it's a positive mutant. The other one's a negative mutant.
Mutant has actually a definition that means things in words. But yeah, moving on. Maybe you're saying that the perfect one is the weird one.
Well, yeah, I mean they're the ones that have the genetic.
So are you saying
deformity.
That mutants are weird?
Hey, not all of them can have claws in their hands.
Not all mutants. Hashtag.
Hashtag not all mutants.
Yes. There we go. Yes, but I actually think that Francesca Haig has an amazing facility with language. I think she used to be a poet, or probably still is a poet.
Are you ever not a poet once you become a poet?
I've written poems before. Does that make me a poet?
Kevin, you are a poet of everyday language.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
It's a man of action.
So I think that the language is incredible. As Kevin says, it's really not a science fiction novel. It's a sort of borderline science fiction fantasy novel because most of it is more or less in the real world, but they have sort of psychic powers. Yes, I know. Some people believe those are real. Those people are wrong. Ha ha ha.
I'm killing you with my mind as we speak.
Yes, you've been doing that repeatedly for quite a long time, and it's made me age.
See, it works.
Exactly the same amount that it would have happened if you hadn't been doing it.
You can't see me, but I'm just, you know, shaking my head like I'm agreeing with you.
I think that... this is a very solid novel. I'm actually surprised that I don't hear about it in more places, but that's why you're hearing about it here. Ta-da. Barry, what did you think?
I really liked it.
Good.
I liked it for a lot of the same reasons that you mentioned. In particular, I liked the writing quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the post-nuke setting as it is kind of slowly introduced to the reader.
Right.
For once, I actually really liked the interpersonal relationships and the discussions that were presented in the book. I actually went back and listened to the first one as well, just before this, just to reground myself in the universe.
Right. I should specify that as a post-nuclear society where half of humanity is suffering from tremendous mutations and also half of humanity seems to be enslaving the other half, this is a bit of a downer.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's kind of just like now, except it's like 2% of them trying to enslave the rest of us.
So just like now?
Right, just like now.
Yeah, except it's not 50-50, so.
Right. What we need to get those people some twins, start exacting some revenge.
Exactly. Well, before we reveal which of us is actually the evil twin of the other, we should probably move on to our discussion section. We shall return for We Are Sci-Fi.
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 And welcome back to our discussion of The Map of Bones by Francesca Haig. Now, is it Francesca or Francesca? We should talk about this for the rest of the time.
Yes.
Yes, this is a book where if you were born, which most people are, then you had a twin and
from the same parent.
From the same parent, yes.
Or parents.
Exactly. And you had a 50-50 chance whether you were the twin that had a whole lot of mutations or possibly just one, or if you were the super healthy twin, which the healthier twins were actually, on average, more healthy than, say, humans before the big event that caused this, which they referred to as the blast.
Yes. It's like you're kind of like an Olympian.
Yes. So the one question we have down here is, what would you do different if you were an alpha or an omega?
Unfortunately, when you said Olympian, it just now completely stuck in my mind is a really bad pun of one's an Olympian and one's a limpin.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh God, that is so bad. I don't think I can say that, but.
Do you want to do this whole segment again?
And then you went there.
But then I just had to because it was stuck in my head. I couldn't think about anything else.
The quality kind of entertainment that you expect from sci-fi, sci-fi, sci-fi.
I am now passing the torch of, or the name of Monster to Kevin. Here's your torch too, by the way.
I thought that the villagers were supposed to have the torches.
Yes.
Did we want to armchair quarterback the strategy used in this book?
I don't think the Omegas went far enough.
Of course not.
How far should they have gone?
Mass suicide.
That would be one option.
Exactly.
I mean, they did consider
it several times. Stop oppressing us or we'll kill us.
That's right.
Exactly.
We'll do your job for you.
Yeah. We're just going to make sure it just ends.
Okay. I mean, it does seem that there is a certain danger in trying to oppress people that, you know, if you kill them, then you die.
Yeah. That was a few times I was kind of thinking, well, it seems like Cass could be like, oh, hey, you're on the council and you're doing this evil plan. Well, there's one really easy way to make sure that doesn't happen. Like,
you know, they were basically going to do that at the end of the previous book. Then yeah,
the Omega Council was actually considering just killing Cass to get rid of Zach,
the reformer.
I keep waiting for like this to be a long game where Zach's like, oh, you don't get it. I actually, you know, had this great plan, but, you know, I had the evil plan in between to make it look like it was an evil plan, but it was really a good plan at the end.
That's the ringleader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that was really what's going to happen, but for a while I was thinking that was going to be the reversal, but I don't know.
Well, I was really surprised that the confessors survived.
Well, kind of. I mean,
sort of, yeah.
Well, they were all brain dead. Yeah, I thought, I was like, oh, what? There's no way they survived. And then apparently they did, just their bodies anyway.
Yeah, they took their bodies and shoved them in a vat.
Yep. So that part was cool.
I mean, statistically, they're quite alive.
Yes, we got a heartbeat after we restarted it,
medically speaking.
Yeah, in terms of their cells, they're doing great. But yeah, we have the advantage of having a psychic peek into their brains and say, nobody's home.
Well, that's the Cthulhu tie-in, right? I mean, basically, you want to remove their brains and put them into a glass jar and have them control another body.
Good idea.
I'm terrified that the two of you are agreeing to this, but for all I know, you guys did it to me a long time ago and just trapped me in this simulation of doing a podcast over and over again.
How do you feel?
I feel fine.
It's working.
Okay.
So what could the alphas do different?
Generally, this sort of harsh oppression is a bad long-term strategy. It's more like, oh, hey, how about instead of sending the person away that carries the key to the survival of the person in your family that might carry on your genes, you keep them with you and protect them at all costs.
Like in a vat?
I mean, the vat actually started to look like at least a rational, if a horrible, strategy.
Right. At least they're like whatever those rooms were, where it's like, we lock you in a cell and keep you safe. It's like, no, it's even better. We just stick you in a vat.
Right. Of course, you know, you could just give them a Nintendo Switch and then they would never just leave the house or do anything else again.
And our economy is now going to be based on creating highly complex games that people can't put down.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Isn't that the Matrix?
Yes.
And then people also in vats.
Their actual work is just, you know, virtual farming and games, and they get paid for that. And that, honestly, that probably would work for, you know, it's we're automating all these, like, you know, other jobs there, and then give them a replacement job. You got to farm in this, like, new Zelda farming game or whatever.
I mean, couldn't they put them together doing, you know.
Right. Your online farming is actually controlling robots that do the actual farming.
You could also have them, you know, put to work understanding like folding proteins and stuff like that instead of, you know, installing little clients.
Let's not get too pragmatic now, Barry.
that's going too far.
Yeah, this is going to be
good for humanity. No,
I do believe we are going to be having a lot of discussion around the book today rather than about the book today. Okay, so what did we think of the arc? There was, at one point, they reached the cool segment. There was the suffering segment, then there was the cool segment.
Yeah, the arc was where the book picked up, and I was like, oh, this part's cool. It's like they actually have, you know, a giant fallout shelter. They're exploring the ruins of one. It's pretty awesome.
That was the module, the Expedition to Barrier Peak.
Right.
Which is the introduction of science fiction elements to Dungeons & Dragons.
I mean, it did seem a little Dungeons & Dragons-y, not in a bad sense. There was the part where they had to cross a fan that they suddenly realized didn't have any dust on it, which meant that it occasionally ran.
It's the spinning swords.
Right. It seemed like they agonized a bit over that and didn't, you know. I would give them a 6 out of 10 on execution of getting through that.
You wouldn't have awarded them that many XPs afterwards?
Well,
partial credit.
I guess, you know, they could have gotten through blind luck initially.
Sure.
But then when they realized, oh, this is an actual trap, then they sat there for like 2 hours waiting for it to spin up and down. And then like, it's like, you know, just go right after it stops. Probably won't spin back up, right? But instead they waited for another 20 minutes or something. Just like, really? Come on.
Clearly they did not have any understanding of modern air circulation technology.
Yes. Also, Kevin wishes to provide his services as a consultant to people in dystopian situations.
Exactly. That I'm an expert. Exactly.
And this is why you love Fallout Shelter so much.
Yay. Okay. Yeah, no, I thought that that was a fun portion of the novel, and I kind of really needed one, because in the previous novel, there was at least the long, vaguely improbable, but still kind of awesome escape sequence where, you know, she escapes and she brings Kip with him. But in this one,
she locks Zach out on the balcony.
Right, exactly. Whereas in this one, there's a lot more, oh God, and then another thing horrible happens.
Yes.
And it's so beautifully narrated that I didn't mind, but, you know, I needed a bit of a pick-me-up of at least, oh, okay, now there's some cool technology. And it turns out that, yeah, the original humans were kind of monstrous as well. I mean, it wasn't that they found this angelic, you know.
They even found some of them in vats.
In vats, yes.
Look, we're going to save ourselves, you know, for the future.
You can
decant us and we'll be your new leaders.
Right. You can have all of our knowledge. Now, I wasn't clear on whether they were still potentially viable. It sounded like they had basically been corroded.
I have hopes for the third book.
Oh. I think they
didn't blow this whole place up?
I still have hope.
They flooded it.
Okay, that's they're in a vat. That's fine.
But yeah, I think they cast aside they were brain dead.
Okay.
The ones that hadn't been messed with to see how it worked. They're like, oh, look, some vats. Let's just, you know, open it up and see what happens. Glug, glug, glug. Oh, they seem like they're dead now.
Yeah. So the alphas, you know, while being guilty of oppressing their omega twins, are also guilty of human experimentation on.
Yeah.
Well, also
the Ark people.
We discover that, you know, they've gotten these radio messages. They
from a place called Elsewhere.
Yes. And they basically, you know, were like, hey, let us know if anybody's out there. And they just said, that's nice. You know?
I think there's going to be another arc.
I mean, they found a representative of Elsewhere at the end, right? In the end, they found that there were these islands where this twinning thing wasn't happening.
Yeah. Well, they fixed that technologically or something.
In the islands? I wasn't sure.
They developed
a cure to, you know, right, for the twinning, right? And then at this first site, right, the Ark site that was in the book, they didn't have enough resources to create enough
of the serum.
It's not a vaccine, it's a serum, right?
Right. It's a thingy. It's an injecty thing.
I'm
married to a doctor.
So you're an expert on
it. I am an
injecty
expert.
Injecty thingy.
It's a MacGuffin.
It's got an ouchie on it.
God. Would you like a Band-Aid?
So, no, thank you.
So what did people think of the whole taboo against technology, and that it was so ingrained that they didn't even have to enforce it, that any technology people found, they were like, oh God, you know, destroy it, you know.
Yeah, that made a certain amount of sense, but I wasn't clear on this sort of causal relationship. I mean, that seems like the sort of thing that would be part of a culture or a subculture, but just sort of inbuilt in everybody. I assume that it's part of like a psychic reaction to the blast that happened.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit too overbearing, I thought, but, you know.
It might be a little extreme. I mean, I'm still trying to understand, like, you know, the mechanics of the blast, right? Was it?
Right.
It sort of sounds like wholesale nuclear war.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or as opposed to just, you know, one device going off or something.
Yeah, I think pretty much that was the case, and there was a nuclear winter for a long time. And
yeah,
what, they said it had been like 400 years or something?
400 years, yeah.
I forget, do they ever explicitly say it's a nuclear war?
I think the back of the book says.
They call it the blast.
They call it the blast. So it could have been just a really big party.
It's really the sun. Yes. Just, you know, had a giant solar flare.
They're like, look, it's the sun. Yay.
We had a blast. Okay. And I will take credit for this much, that I figured out relatively early on that the blast she kept on re-experiencing from the past was actually a vision of the future. Because I'm just like, okay, it's getting worse as we're moving forward in time. Yeah, I know what this is. Also, the fact that you have the advantage of being outside the novel, and so knowing that this has to be happening for some plot-related reason.
Right.
I thought it was an interesting twist and, you know, obviously a fair enough one that, yes, all the seers there kept on experiencing this vision of this original blast, and they assumed that it was the blast that had put them into this original situation, but it turned out that actually they're experiencing a blast that will happen in the future. Which means that you have moral authority to do anything you want to prevent it. Yay!
Like drown everybody.
Drown everybody.
More vats.
That part seemed a little bit too easy. They lit the stuff on fire, right? And then that made the entire thing like collapse and
got flooded. Well, I mean, at least there wasn't a big destruct button that they just pushed.
I guess it was...
The code was 1A, 2B, 3C.
destruct, zero.
Yes. Yeah, I'm willing to believe... I'm willing to believe that, you know, after 400 years, they hadn't done much maintenance, I guess.
And yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I'm willing to let that one slide.
Your post-nuke arc is finally going to go critical with just a fire. I mean, the ventilation systems still seem to be working to some degree.
Well, for some reason, they had these flammable toxic gas or liquid or whatever it was, like, piped into that area.
Oh, yeah. She had come in with the, you know, torch or a lantern.
And he's like,
something.
What are you doing? Don't ignite the flammable, you know, stuff that we have conveniently here. And
it's actually a defense mechanism, right. Except it backfired.
Exactly. All right. Did people have favorite scenes?
I really like the Ark exploration scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Cass and Piper as they, you know, are sort of diving down into the ventilation shafts, and I really enjoyed that part. Like I said earlier, it reminded me very much of like Barrier Peaks, and
yeah, that was probably my favorite part also.
I'll call that one as well. One of the things that I liked was she sort of realizes, oh, I want to live at that point, because she's just like, you know, maybe I'll just let myself die. And then she's like, oh, crap. No, I still have a survival instinct.
They were doing the quick climb out as it's getting flooded, you know, so at least cinematic.
Exactly.
I mean, another part of the book I liked was the first half. There's a lot of this, you know, mental gymnastics of how to deal with your twins and how this oppressive power, how you could potentially deal with it.
Right.
It's a constant theme through the first book and into the second book. But I did enjoy these discussions that they had, even if they were a bit heated. And I'm not quite sure what I would do, to be honest.
I guess it's kind of a balance of power where, you know, you can't just kill them because that would just kill yourself. So you're like, okay, we got to do something. And
see, my solution would be just put everybody in vats.
Exactly. Both sides can go in the vats.
Just flip a coin for which twin goes into the vat at the beginning.
Nah, just everybody.
Oh, everybody?
Absolutely everybody.
They could just the last person into the vat?
You just climb in.
Oh. The last person just jumps off a cliff. It doesn't matter.
It's like hooked up to one of those little spinny timer things you put in the wall. And
exactly.
Like, oh God, I hope it goes off because I'm about to drown.
Well, I mean, six wakes emergency button.
That's right.
I will.
3D, you know, printers.
I had sort of a dark moment when I was reading the book where it was, you know, and then you go into the vat and lose all of your free will and nothing ever bothers you again. I'm just like, that sounds nice.
Go down for the long nap.
Exactly.
Like, oh yeah. You are technically doing space travel.
I'm always technically doing space travel.
Exactly.
The Earth is in space.
Yes.
And it's moving.
And it is moving.
Earth in space.
Wow. Okay. Well. All right. So, was there tea? This is the only flaw that I see. I didn't see any tea whatsoever. Not that I recall.
And that's why this book was awesome.
There is vat fluid.
There's vat fluid, which, of course, can be considered human tea.
It probably does gain human tea as the vat occupants are there.
All right.
Is that vat fluid? Is it cycled through? Is it refreshed every once in a while? I mean, what's going on there?
Is it communal vat fluid or is it, yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, I can only hope that the precise mechanics of the vat fluid circulation will be addressed in the third book.
That is the most important thing that I was wondering about.
And the second arc.
And the second arc.
Yeah.
Yes. New arcs. Maybe that's just full of vat fluid.
Yes. Actually, we've replaced the inner core of the Earth with vat fluid.
Let's see if they notice.
Nobody yet. Nobody's noticed yet.
I wonder if people still remember the old Folgers commercials.
I doubt it.
We've secretly replaced this man's mind with Folgers crystals. Let's see if he notices.
Destroy, destroy.
It's actually got a little percolator thing on the top of his head. You can see it bubbling around.
All right.
With
so,
his brain fluid.
What character do you want to be and or who would you be? Well, speaking personally, I would want to be sort of the badass old woman that they sort of go to for help towards the end. you know, she's...
I wish you hadn't come here, but I guess you had to.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So then I killed her. It saved her suffering. I just threw my knife directly into her chest and
did that happen? The entire room. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, they had been infiltrating the High Council, and they caught two of them, and Cass was just like, nobody was watching her right then, so she just like threw a knife and, you know, kept her from like
being one, tortured.
One of them managed to bite down on the suicide pill, and the other one couldn't manage it. So
oh, I see.
I think I want to be one of the Ark scientists because, you know, experimenting on humanity.
Okay, you true mean, to form.
You mean one of the ones that are in the vat or one of the old ones?
Well, you know, I'm hoping to be one of the other Ark people that's still going to be reconstituted.
Like, okay. No, I like this idea. You know, first you get to live your dreams, then you get a nice long vacation.
It's a long deserved nap.
Mm-hmm. Devin?
I don't know. I like the Ark. The Ark's cool, so maybe I would live in the Ark.
Maybe you would be the Ark.
I would be the Ark.
You're the AI, but you've been powered down.
Yeah, okay, that works.
All right. Well, was there anything else we wanted to talk about? Okay.
Looking forward to the third book.
I believe that brings us to a close, so I think it's time for us to all climb into our vats and wait for a future civilization to...
Glub, glub, glorp.
...take advantage of our knowledge and essential skills.
Like podcasting.
This is how you win in the Zelda game. Like, in fact, here's this great game called Wasteland. It plays on the Apple II. Let me pull that out.
This is how Groot ends up playing Defender for most of the movie.
It just turns out...
I haven't seen it yet.
Poke 33,0. Anyway.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, until next time, if you want to reach us, I don't know why, but on Twitter, you can reach us at SF3Podcast. Via mail, you can reach us SF3Podcast@gmail.com. And on Apple Podcasts, we are sci-fi, 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 all one word, or SF3. Good luck with that.
It's a special difficulty thing that we've set for you. It's a challenge.
Right.
Or as you always, we've become an edge case.
Yes, exactly. Because we're edgy. If you want to download our podcast and you somehow don't know how you've done it so far, then congratulations on your recent awakening. And
you're one of the VAT people.
Exactly. And you can download our podcast at sci-fi-sci-fi-sci-fi.libsyn.com. And until next time, we have been... Sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi.